Good evening, Bear Valley Church. Good to see all of you. The cross of Christ. We could stay here from this Good Friday to next Good Friday and not plumb the depths of what the cross means for us and what Jesus did for us. It's the voice of God when you get that echo like that. Just kidding. Have you ever doubted that God loves you? Have you ever been in sin and thought that surely God didn't love you at that moment? Have you ever been through a trial or gotten a diagnosis and thought, where is the love of God? What is he doing in my life? What is going on with the God of the universe? You need me to change something up here? You got it. The cross, oftentimes we come to Good Friday, and if you're new, if you're here for the first time, you're a visitor, welcome. We're glad you're here. This is a big night for Christians because our Savior died on the cross for us. And it's our sin that put him there. And many times at Good Friday, we'll focus on how sinful we are, that we need a Savior, and we do, and we are sinful. And it's our wickedness that put Jesus there. He didn't deserve it. He lived a perfect life. He ministered to people. He did miracles. He showed that he was God. And then people wanting power and people who didn't like being threatened by him or what he was teaching, put him on the cross. But God did that for us, that our sin could be paid for. And so that's the message of the cross, the message of the gospel. But tonight we're going to be in 1 John, and we're going to be in 1 John because really, the cross is God's great act of love for us. And though the cross is mentioned in the scriptures as showing us how great our sin is, there's many times where the cross is pointed to, and it's pointed to and said, if you ever forget, if you ever doubt, if you ever think that it's not true that the God of the universe loves you, look to the cross. Look to the cross. There's a quote going around from Martin Luther where he says, when I look at myself, I don't know how I could be saved, but when I look at my Savior, I don't know how I could be lost. And that's true. And so we're going to be in 1 John chapter 4, and I'm just going to read two verses. It'll be short tonight, but we want to focus in on God's love for us. These verses come right after a verse that everybody likes to throw at Christians. In 1 John chapter 4 is where John says, God is love. God is love. In fact, the verse right before the one we're in tonight, he says, God is love. What does that mean is what he's going to tell us tonight, right? And so sometimes the world wants to say, oh, God is love, he's fine. God is love, he this. God is love, he's that. Excuse me, piano. But when he tells us God is love, this is what he has in mind tonight. Right? This is what he has in mind. And so sometimes when people give us that verse, and they mean to dismiss what Jesus said, or they mean to dismiss what the Bible says, or they mean to push away what we're trying to tell them about the gospel, we can say, hey, do you know the verse that comes right after that? Talks about the cross, and talks about our need for Jesus, and talks about how much God loved us. So if you guys would read the text with me, we're going to be in 1 John 4, starting in verse 9. 1 John 4, starting in verse 9. I'll read it. 1 John 4, starting in verse 9, I think it'll be up on the screen. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Let me pray for us as we go to the word tonight. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that we're not left to make up what it means that you are love, to wonder, to doubt in our mind, do you really love us? God, you've answered that. You answered it on the cross. You answered it in your Son. You answered it in your Word. And so I pray that as we look at this passage tonight, God, we would be encouraged by what our Savior has done for us. And for those here that might be doubting, might be struggling, might be wondering about your love, God, that they would be reassured tonight that on the cross you proved your love for us. Lord, thanks. Give us clarity as we read your Word and as we study it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm just gonna go through some points from these verses. And the first is, God's love is shown, not hidden. God's love is shown, not hidden. Sometimes people act as if God's love, they have to search for it. They have to like, oh, where is it? What is he? Or if he really loved me this, or I'm asking God, God, where's the sign in my life that you love me? And I want to tell you, this verse tells us that God's love is on display for all of us to see, right? He says, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us. That made manifest, it's revealed. The light was thrown on it. The torch was lit. The sun rose. Whatever you want to say, this is full light of day on the love of God. It was revealed to us. That term among us really means, it means like in our case. So if you want to say, how could we make a case that God loves mankind? John says, this is your answer. This is your answer right here. And this is the love of God was made manifest among us. This is how he proved his case to us. He showed it to us. Jesus walked on this earth. Jesus was born of a virgin. Jesus died on a cross. Jesus rose from the dead. It was on display for all of us to see. And we still know it, and we still know it today. So God's love is shown, not hidden. Sometimes our love, we hide it when we get mad at people. Right? We treat it as like a bartering system or something. Well, when you're being nice to me, then I'll show my love for you. But if you're not, this is the idea that God put on permanent display his love for us. It's not something that can ever be taken down. It's not something that can ever be taken back. He put it on permanent display for us. Number two, so God's love is shown. God's love is sent in his Son. Look at the verse, 1 John 4:9. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his Son. This is the crux of Good Friday. God sent his Son. Jesus came here on a mission. And as much as we want to say, well, the miracles were awesome, miracles he did, and the things he said, man, those things were amazing, and the teaching that he did, and the authority that he showed, and all the things we could point to in Jesus' life are obviously leading up to this weekend. And so even though all those things are amazing, God's love is shown in that he sent his Son for us. It's on display. Jesus being sent, this was one of Jesus' favorite ways of talking about himself. Right? Jesus said, I want you to know that I am here because I was sent. Right? It's the idea that, it's mind-blowing really, but it's the idea that the triune God in all ages past had said, I'm sending salvation to them. They're not going to find it themselves. They're not going to have to scrounge for it. They're not going to have to beg for it. They're not going to have to grovel for it. God said, I'm going to send it. And Jesus said, Jesus willingly came, but he was sent according to a plan. He was sent on a mission. And he talked to his disciples about how really when he knew that they were starting to get his message when they said, we believe that you were sent from the Father. And Jesus says, yes, now we're getting somewhere. Right? Not amazed by the mirror. Not, I mean, all that stuff. But he says, now that you're getting that the Father, the God of the universe, is sending me, now we're making progress. When he says his only Son, this is John's favorite word for the uniqueness of Jesus. This word sent, it's the word we get apostle from. And so in some sense, God has sent all of us. Right? God has sent us. You that go to the high school, God sent you. You at your job, God has sent you. You at the golf course, the Mulligan room, God has sent you, even to the Mulligan room, right? Even to Frosty King or Empire Burger, whatever they're calling it now, right? Wherever you are sent. But that's not, John here is saying that God sent his special, unique son. The only one who could do it. The only one who could do it. We couldn't save ourselves. Right? God sent his son for us. So God's love is shown. And really, Jesus says this about him. Jesus says, I came. God sent me. He said he was given. But what did he say at all? You guys remember, we're in the book of Mark, the women's ministry. And Jesus says, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. This is why he came. This is why John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's all the same concept. He was sent. He came on a mission. He was given to us. He did that for us. So God's love was shown. God's love was sent in his son. And God, the next, God's love is near. Look down, 1 John 4:9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only son into the world. It's pretty easy to love at a distance, right? Oh, we really love those, you know, those Christians in the Middle East, we really love them. Christian across the street, we can't stand, but those ones in the Middle East, you know, those ones that are persecuted, we really love them. God didn't stay in heaven. God didn't stay on a mountaintop. God wasn't up here saying, hey, I love you. Now just come on, just make your way up here. God's love came near to us. You see that in the book of Acts. The apostles say that salvation is near to you. It has come this day among you. Maybe you're here and you're not a believer in Jesus. I want to tell you, salvation's near. You don't have to climb for it. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to clean yourself up or make your life better. God sent his son into this world. All of Jesus' ministry actually happened in this world. God's love is near to us. We do this too. We kind of want to phone love in sometimes. We'll keep, yeah, I love you. This is what was going on actually here, is these people wanted to say they loved God, but John says, oh, you love God, but you hate your brothers. Do you see the disconnect there? Do you see how whatever you're saying about love isn't really love, because you're not getting that, you don't phone it in. James says, he who loves only in word, what is that? What have you done? Not real love. But God's love is real love. And so it's near. Number four, God's love is life. Look down at the end of the verse, 1 John 4:9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. Kevin's going to talk about that on Sunday. We're going to skip it. No, I'm just kidding. He is going to talk about it on Sunday. But the life, that we might have life. We were dead, needing life. We weren't just like, God, if you could just help me out a little in my life, that'd be really loving of you. God, I'm almost there, God, if you would just make it a little, just do the last mile for me, God. Right? I always thought, some of you don't know this about me, but I was a cross-country runner in high school. I know, hard to believe. If you haven't heard this joke before, my motto was, I'm behind you all the way. It would have been real nice to phone in that last mile of the race, right? To say, oh, I can make it this far. I just need some help. I'm glad that's not how our relationship with God is. We're not almost there. We're not like, oh, I just need a little bit. We need life. We're dead. And that life, the amazing thing is, it starts now. You have, if you're in Christ, you have life. Real life inside of you. Spiritual life, real life. That can and so it's not that it's going to be perfect down here. Some of you with me, you're fellow perfectionists. And so when I say that you have life, you're like, I don't know my life down here. It's not. I know it's not going to be perfect here. Right? There's a day in heaven where life will be perfect. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears. All those things will pass away. But we have life here and it can thrive. Just a side note. If someone brought you here, you're a visitor or maybe you only dip into church every once in a while. Part of what will help your life thrive is being with his people. Right? If you hang out with the dead, how's that going to have your life thrive? Now, we are sent to them, and we need to take the gospel, but we need to be an integrated, integral, like, part of God's church every Sunday, every time, every week, all the time. I have 7 of these. We're halfway there. Don't worry. Number 5. Now we're in verse 10. God's love is gracious. Look down, verse 10. In this is love, not that we have loved God. I mean, I need an amen there, right? Right? It's not that we loved God. Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't about us loving God. It wasn't that God said, oh, you're so loving to me. I'll love you back. God said, my love is gracious. God's love is gracious. We needed it. If it wasn't gracious, we would have never got there. Number 6, God's love is real. God's love is real. Look down at verse 10 again. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us, and here we are again, and sent his son. It's real. That 1 John, there's this thing going on with love in the book of John and 1 John where people want love to be this thing that's like self-gratifying, like, oh, we're lovers of God. We're lovers of man. Like, I don't, you might even call it hippie. I don't know what you'd call it, but some of you are too young to even know what hippies are. I'm sorry about that, but it's like TikTok love. I don't know what to say about it, but it's this thing where it's really about me. It's really about me being the loving one, and that's what it means. Oh, I have a love relationship with God. You might meet people out there who's, oh, I love God in my own way. I'm a love. And John in 1 John is having none of it. That's why he says, we have not loved. Not that we love God. He says, you haven't. Nobody came to God saying, oh, God, I'm such a lover of you. Now, if you would just love me back. He says, we have not loved God. God's love is the real love. Right? God's love is not shallow. God's love is not this ethereal, like, oh, yes, I love my people. No, God's love is a fighting love. God's love is a jealous love. God's love is an involved love. God's love is, I want your heart, and I'm going to redeem my people, and I'm going to go from Abraham, I'm going to go all the way through history, and I'm going to redeem a people for myself because I love them. It wasn't on us. God's love is real. And I put not just talk, right? That's an application to our lives. We love gets thrown around a lot. You know, the first time somebody meets a girl, they're flirting. I love you. It was love at first sight. It's just talk. It's just talk. God's love is real. Last but not least, God's love is redemptive. Look down at the end of 1 John 4:10. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And you're like, oh, shoot, I was with you until there was that big word with lots of P's in it. Right? Propitiation. Some preachers, and I might have been one of them in years past, avoid this passage just because of this word. Right? They say, what is, nobody knows this word. What are we talking about? And I want to tell you, really, the word means it's covered. It's covered. It's like the bill being laid down and the person saying, I got it. It's covered. It's taken care of. They take it, right? Some of you fight over the bill sometimes, and one person will lay on it. This is my, I'm getting it. I'm the one that's taking care of it. And God says, I've covered it. I've covered it. We needed Jesus to cover it. Why? Because the price was our life. The bill said death because of sin. Couldn't do it ourselves. But the eternal God of the universe, Jesus Christ, the God-man, he says, I covered it. I covered it. That's propitiation. It's a word that goes all the way back to the Old Testament and the sacrifices and the blood that was shed and this idea that if their sin wasn't covered, God had every right to strike them dead where they were. But because they were his people, because there was a covering of blood, someone had covered it. Literally the word we get for mercy, this and mercy, and when you see it as they translate the Old Testament, it's this weird interplay that you're getting God to cover. When you're asking for mercy, you're saying, God, I need coverage on this one. I don't deserve it. I can't earn it. I need you to cover it. I need you to cover it. Have you ever been at a restaurant and forgot your wallet?
No.
Good. It's not a good feeling, right? And you're starting to say, it's been a long time since I washed dishes that much, but, you know, Jesus covered it. I don't mean to make light of it. It literally means that the wrath of God was covered. On the bill, dead because of sin, deserving of wrath. And Jesus says, it's covered. That's what the cross did. The cross was, it's covered. He made the way. It's covered. Jesus, see, here's the deal. God is both wrathful and loving. That's why he sent his son. We needed someone to cover the bill for us. We needed someone to cover our sins. I'm going to end kind of in a weird spot. I think the next slide should be Exodus 30:15. It's a weird verse from Exodus, but it's one of the first times that that concept of propitiation is mentioned in the whole Bible. The concept of atonement. And it says, the rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than the half shekel when you give the Lord's offering to make atonement for your lives. It's a weird thing because in the Old Testament, a lot of times what you brought as a sacrifice, God was very kind, right? Most people were not rich. He said, if you can't bring a goat, bring a bird. And if you can't bring a bird, literally, it got down to like, bring a cup of flour. Right? And so there's a sliding scale. Like if you could bring a goat, you should bring a goat. But this offering, this first one that mentions atonement, is not that way. It says, the rich shall not give more and the poor shall not give less. It was everybody pays the same. The price is the same for everybody. Matthew Henry, old Bible commentary, said, in other offerings, men were to give according to their worldly ability. But this, which was the ransom of the soul, must be alike for everyone. The souls are all of equal value. They are all equally in danger, and they are all equally in need of ransom. Some of you come here and you think you're spiritually rich. I grew up in the church. You know how much I give to this place? You know how much I serve? I'm here all day on Sunday. Even with the Adventure Club brats, I'm here all day. Right? No, they're wonderful, actually. It'll pump you up if you come, but... And some of you find yourself poor. I wasn't raised. I don't know any of this stuff. If you knew my past, you'd think the building would fall down. Like, do you know The rich shall not give more. The poor shall not give less. The bill's covered in Jesus. If you're here tonight thinking that you have some kind of spiritual richness and that you've, you know, I've really brought something to the table, that's very dangerous for your soul. But if you're here tonight saying, I'm too far away from God, I don't know anything, if you knew what I'd done, if you knew who I was, I can't. The bill is on the table, and Jesus said it's covered. We just believe. We just put our faith in Jesus. And so tonight, if you haven't put your faith in Jesus, if you think you've been earning this, or if you think you've been too far gone, I want to tell you that God's love is on display on Good Friday. And salvation is open to you today. Today. I sat in church for many years faking it. Until the Lord convicted my heart and said, you have to be real, Brandon. Has to be your faith, not your parents, not your friends. Has to be yours. And so I'd encourage you tonight, you have an opportunity to bow before the cross. So let me pray for us, and then Zach's going to come and do one special song for us about the cross. God, thanks for this night. Lord, that your love is on display. It's shown, it's real, it's true, it's sent to us in Jesus, it's gracious, and it redeems us. So God, remind us this weekend, as we think about the cross and the resurrection, how good it is to have the love of Christ, to have the love of God, to be covered, to have our sins covered because of the cross. God, we love you. Be honored. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.